My ear had asked me this week about this book, so I'm going to say it again. This book that I've been reading is by Mark Batterson, and it's called Whisper, How to Hear the Voice of God. And that's where I've been getting my inspiration. I've been studying this book, and it's really good, and that's where I've been getting my inspiration on teaching this to you guys. But before we get into the actual message today, I want to tell you about our book, Hope Beyond Brokenness, Finding Healing After the Loss of a Child. This is being released this week on Amazon. We're excited about that. But I want to tell you how it's being released, first of all, so you understand. It's being released as an ebook or a Kindle, where you can download it to iBooks, or if you have a Kindle, you can download it to there, download it to your computer. You can print it out that way. But we will, it'll be after the first of the year, sometime in, you know, the first of the year, that we're going to do what we call a print on demand, if you want a paper copy. And so we're talking with the publisher about how to do that, so that we don't have to order, you know, sometimes these book companies or these publishers, like a minimum order is 1,000, you know, and so, or 4,000. I mean, it's amazing how, but they've got it now where you can do print on demand. And so we're going to get that set up at the first of the year, because it takes a whole new, I'm learning all this stuff by talking to publishers, because it takes a whole new typeset and all that kind of stuff. But it's going to be on Amazon this week. We will be sharing the links on our church page, and when you see that link being shared, please share it with family and friends. If you know somebody that's going through grief right now, experiencing grief in the holiday season, please give this as a gift of hope for them. To them, and so that we're just believing that God's going to use this to share the message of hope, which is Jesus. Amen. And this book has been 20 years in the making, and the last 2 years, Jade and I have been working really hard on this, just to put your testimony down on paper. You think it would be easy. It's not. Because she wrote some chapters, I wrote some chapters, and then we even threw in a chapter, and Taya didn't know this till the other day, but we even threw in a Taya chapter. And she didn't know this, but it was actually a paper that she wrote when she was in junior college at Cali County Community College in Ark City, Kansas. She wrote a paper for English that was about her experience by her brother passing away, her little brother. And she wrote that, and when Mom and I read it, we was like, oh, this has got to go in the book. So it's in the book. That was her part. So it's not just Mark and Jada. Taya's also got a chapter in there as well. So we're excited about it, and just help us get the word out about it and share it on social media, because we believe it's going to help a lot of people. Okay, is everybody ready to get in the word? And I got to tell you a little story behind this, the cover. We looked at cover concepts, we looked at titles till we were cross-eyed. If you've ever, some of you in here, I know Mark and Betty have, you've published a book. It can get pretty daunting and overwhelming at times. And he told me, Christian Ophus, who I met through Mark, and that was also who wrote or helped Betty get her book out too, he told me, he said, now Mark, you can share publicly or with your friends and family. So I consider all you my friends and family, where this image came from. But this image was actually done for Kenneth Copeland and Kenneth Copeland Ministries. They decided that they didn't want to use this image because they wanted to go with something else that they were doing in a direct mail campaign or something like that. But and it was just the tree. And Christian said, well, I just always kept that image because I knew that somebody was going to use this somewhere down the line. And so he showed us the tree, and he had a couple other concepts, and we were like, no. And Jada kept saying, Mark, there's just something about the tree. And I was like, yeah. And we had some other confirmation from some friends of ours, but she says it's missing something. And I said, well, what's it missing? And she goes, it's missing a tire swing. And so Jada, God gave her that vision of putting that tire swing on it. And Christian, I say, hey, Christian, can you put a tire swing on it? He said, yep, I can do that. So he put the tire swing on. He's like, that's it. And so that's Hope Beyond Brokenness is the name of it. So help us get the word out about it. Continue to pray over that with us and agree with us. And everybody said, amen. Okay, we're going to get into the word today. Whoops, I got to have this on before it works. All right. We're going to talk about hearing God today. This is the series that we've been in. And even if you haven't, you can go back and watch these on hfchurch.com on our podcast, or you can go to churchesaid.com and watch the video. The seven love languages of God are scripture, desires, doors, and then today's the fourth one, dreams. Everybody say dreams. We're going to talk about dreams. Next week will be about people, then promptings and pain. This, God speaks through all these things into our lives, and we're going to see this in scripture. And here's what I want to tell you. God has a dream for your life, and it's for your good and for His glory. God has a dream for your life, and it's for your good and for His glory. And we're going to learn today how to live God's dreams for our lives, how to live it. Not just, you know, there's a lot of people that have dreams and there's a lot of dreamers, but I want to show you how to put it into action and how to actually live out that dream. And there is no language that God speaks more fluently or frequently in Scripture than dreams. It is all through Scripture. It's all through the Old Testament, and it's all through the New Testament. In fact, God said in His Word, and I want you to turn to the book of Acts. We're going to look in Acts chapter 2 if you have your Bibles, and Acts chapter 7. And I've got all the scriptures wrote there on your bulletin, so you can look them up later if you want to as well. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, and I'm going to be reading now the New Living Translation just because it, you know, it's better than speaking Elizabethan English, right? Because it sounds like we talk. Acts 2, verse 17 says, "In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams." We're talking about dreams today. But dreams, and God speaks to us through visions, and He speaks to us through dreams. The best way I like to say this is, you know, there's night dreams and day dreams. And some of you are good at daydreaming, aren't you? But night dreams are when, you know, your body's still, spirit, soul, and body, and God downloads things. How many of you ever had a dream from God? I have. Yeah, God speaks to us in our dreams. It is amazing how God, the brain, this 3 pounds of gray matter in your skull, that God, through those synapses, can speak to you. That is amazing, the creation of the brain. I mean, it's just, it amazes me. I was studying some stuff this week about the brain and what side of the brain is the one that dreams, and it is amazing how God created us. But God can speak to us through dreams. There's night dreams, and then there's daydreams, and I like to call daydreams visions. And so God can give you a vision a day, and there's many times, and you might think, well, I've never had that. Well, let me tell you, you probably have, and you don't even know it. There's a lot of times when I'm praying for people. It doesn't happen all the time, but there's sometimes when I pray for people that I'll have a mental picture of something as I'm praying for them. Has anybody ever had that? Okay, that's a dream. That's a vision. That's God speaking to you to release something over them as you're praying. So a lot of you have had this happen, and you don't even know that you have. It's more common than what you realize, that you've had those impressions from God, that dream, that vision to do this, do that, and then it's up to you to be obedient to whatever He's telling you to do. And so, whether it's dreams by night or dreams by day, which is visions, God is the dream giver. Everybody say, God is the dream giver. I can remember when we started this church, it started with, I've had some dreams from God that I can go back and say, yeah, that was a dream from God, that was a dream. I haven't had too many day visions or daydreams from God, but the day that I had a day vision from God is when God showed me this church. I had no idea it was going to be in Leedy, but He showed me a church, and it looked to me to be in the country, and God spoke to my heart and said, "Give and it shall be given." And all He showed me was a church that was growing, and then people were being sent out into the harvest, out into the to do the work of God. And I was like, "Wow, God, that's pretty cool." And I was on Highway 47 between Raiden and Cheyenne when that happened. And I had a 1993 sky blue Ford Tempo that I was driving. And it literally felt like God came down and sat in my car with me and showed me that. And I go home, and I was like, wow, I've never had this experience with God before. And I go home, and I tell Jada. And Jada, I can remember Jada was like in the kitchen doing things, and I began to just share with her, just like I am with you, and she just immediately began to weep. And I was like, oh my gosh, what did I do? And she, it was just like God was confirming into her that the Spirit of God was just so strong in that situation. And I thought, okay, I'm going crazy because I'm seeing visions in the day, and I think they're from God. And so I was looking in the Word, and I was finding, you know, where God speaks this in the Word, and I was just having a hard time with it because I thought, man, I'm literally going crazy. I'm one of them crazy Christians. That's what I am. And God sent two people by our house that don't normally come to our house at all, and just to come by our house to confirm, and they just showed up the doorstep, and they looked at me. I answered the door on both of them. I answered the door, and they looked at me and said, Mark, what is God telling you? I was like, well, that's a strange way to, you know, answer the door. But it was two confirmations that God was saying, yes, I'm speaking this to you. You're not crazy. So look at somebody and say, you're not crazy. So that was good. But that all happened. This was all birthed out of a day vision or a dream from God, all this. And to see what God is doing through a dream when you act upon it. And so I want to teach you today how to live out a dream. But I'm just going to share a few things real quick from Scripture out of the Old Testament and the New Testament, just so you know that I'm not blowing smoke, okay? God does speak through dreams. And I'm not going to go to all these references. I'm just going to talk through them. And I'm not even sharing all of them that are in Scripture. But it was Jacob's dream at a place called Bethel that changed the trajectory of his life. His son Joseph interpreted two dreams that saved two nations. And that's who we're going to talk about today is Joseph, because he was a dreamer and then he also interpreted dreams. The prophet Daniel interpreted a dream that saved the wise men of Babylon. Then when you read the Christmas story, the season that we're in right now, Jesus was saved by a dream that warned Joseph and Mary to flee Bethlehem and told them to go to Egypt. That all came through a dream. The wise men were warned in a dream not to go back to King Herod, but to take a different route. That all happened in a dream. Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia that brought the gospel to Europe, and our spiritual lineage traces back to a double vision. Cornelius had a vision of Peter, while Peter had a vision of Cornelius. And that's how the Gentiles came into the gospel. Isn't that awesome? How God, and that's just, I mean, Solomon, God spoke to him in a dream. Asked him, what do you want, Solomon? Solomon said, I want wisdom. God said, you've answered correctly. And, I mean, it's all through Scripture of God speaking to people in dreams. But I want to hone in on one guy in the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, I have lots of favorites. And I'll probably get up here and I'll say, when I'm teaching on Abraham, he's my favorite. But when I'm teaching on Joseph, he's my favorite. Joseph, and I'm talking about the Joseph in the Old Testament in Genesis. And his story is told from, you might want to write this down so you can study his life. His story is told from Genesis 37 to Genesis chapter 50. But I want to pick up on two scriptures in Acts chapter 7 that really sum up his life. And it says this. It says, these patriarchs were jealous of their brother Joseph. His brothers were jealous of him. And they sold him to be a slave in Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all of his troubles. And God gave him favor before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God also gave Joseph unusual wisdom. Everybody say favor. Everybody say unusual wisdom. So that Pharaoh appointed him governor over all of Egypt and put him in charge of the palace. So Joseph was a dreamer. And it all started with two night dreams. If you know this story, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase it because we don't have time. I just encourage you to read that story in the book of Genesis chapter 37 through Genesis chapter 50. But God spoke to Joseph in a dream, and it was actually two night dreams, and he gave him this big picture dreams that showed him these, you know, your basically the interpretation of the dreams was your brother, your brothers, and your mom and dad are going to come back and bow down to you. That was basically the summary of the dreams. And in his youthful pride, or in his, I don't even want to say youthful, in his pride, the first person he goes tells is his brothers. Wrong move. Shouldn't have done that. basically go, you know, he's 17 years old. He runs to his brothers who are older than him, and he tells them all, you guys are going to bow down and worship me one day. He's like, no, we ain't. And so it caused a lot of friction in this family. And so, but God, what was so neat about this story, when you study the life of Joseph, these dreams were from God. It wasn't just bad pizza on that night in Israel or wherever they were at in the Middle East, but it was a dream from God, and these dreams helped him to keep going when times were tough. And I'm going to tell you something. God-given dreams will help you keep going when times are tough. And everybody said amen to that. All right, I'm going to give you, you can take notes there on your bulletin, but I'm going to show you and teach you today how to live God's dream for your life. Now, this may take you a lifetime to live what I'm teaching you out, but this is how to live God's dream for your life. Number one is preparation. And this is the age, and I'm going to put a timeline on this so you can see in Joseph. Preparation, because it took him from age 17 when he had these dreams to age 30 when he stepped into his dream, when he stepped into it. If you can do math, that is 13 years. I don't know about you, but when I got that dream from God about the church, I was like, it's happening tomorrow. I was so full of impatience, and God's like, nope, it ain't happening. And the reason why was because I was not prepared at all. And I still feel unprepared. I still feel that way. God's still preparing me. And you'll always be in this preparation stage, I promise you. No matter, even if you step into your destiny, into your calling, you're still going to be under the preparation of the Lord. But there was this preparation process that Joseph had to go through, and God still works this way. These are the ways of God in our lives. And so there were three main seasons. You've got number one, two, and three there in your bulletin on the back of it. And I'm going to go ahead and give them to you so you can follow along with me. But there was three main seasons in Joseph's life. Number one was preparation. This is the first one that we're going to talk about. That was ages 17 through 30. So there on number one, you can write the word preparation. Number two is the word promotion. Promotion. And that was whenever he turned 30, when Joseph turned 30. And then the last one is provision for purpose. Provision for purpose. And I'm going to put them all up here. I just want to go ahead and give them to you. But provision for purpose, and that was ages, from the ages of 30 to the age of 110. That's how long that Joseph lived. So for 80 years, he lived in his destiny for 80 years. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But age 17 is when God gave him the dreams, the dream of what his future, God gave him this big picture dream, and it took him a whole lifetime to figure out what that dream meant. And it wasn't until those 80 years, and we're going to look at that here in just a second, in that 80-year time span is when he really started figuring out why God gave him those dreams when he was 17. Now, there's three tests that I want to give you under number one. Under number one is preparation, right? And so you might want to go ahead, and I know I didn't put that on the bulletin, but you might want to go ahead and write 1, 2, 3 under number one, because I'm going to give you three tests that I don't care what you're doing. And you might be thinking, okay, well, Mark, you're talking about Joseph. Well, he was a church leader. No, he wasn't. He was a marketplace leader. He was somebody out there in business, out there in the world doing the work of God. So this message is for all of us, is what I'm trying to say, is for all of us. Because every one of you, I promise, are going to go through these tests. And the first one is the forgiveness test. Whoopee! Aren't you glad you came to church today? The forgiveness test. This is huge. And I want to say this. I have been in pastoral ministry long enough now to understand there are some horrible, horrible, horrible things that have happened to people. In families, you know, at workplaces, on jobs. I've heard a lot of stories, and some of them are just like, you know, you walk away, and I've walked away from several. I've walked away from some in my own life where I'm just like, God, how in the world am I ever going to forgive that? Am I telling the truth? I've done that. And so I want you to, and here's the deal. In our own power, we can't do it. We have to have the Holy Spirit's power to do it and the Holy Spirit's help to do it. But Joseph, I mean, guy, if anybody could have, you talk about betrayal, he was betrayed by his own family, his own blood. They threw him in a pit. You know, they lied about to their dad that he was killed by a wild animal. They threw him in a pit, and then they were wanting to kill him. And then one of them spoke up, I believe it was Judah, which Jesus came from Judah, spoke up and said, let's don't kill him, let's sell him. Let's make some money, guys. Show me the money for Joseph. And so they sold him to some slave traders that came by. I mean, imagine this, your own family, your own brothers selling you into slavery. They sold him into slavery. I just want you to get in Joseph's shoes for a little bit. They sold him into slavery. He goes to Egypt, and Potiphar purchases him at Potiphar's house. And so that's where he was as slave for many years. And guys, can you imagine every day Joseph waking up and going, I cannot. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have social media. They didn't have all those things. He was like, I cannot wait for the day I see them again, because I'm sure he was working out every day, because I'm going to kick their butts the next time I see them. I'm sure how many of you believe that? I do. I believe he wrestled with that. I believe that God was even speaking to him. This was in the Old Testament. God's telling him, no, you're going to have to forgive him. No, I don't want to, God. I want to kill them. They wanted to kill me. I want to kill them. I mean, this war was going on within him. And here's what I want to show you, this one sentence, and if you guys want to write it down, you can. I'll put it up there because this is so true. Offense, and the scripture says, you know, the offenses are going to come. Every one of us in here, they're going to come in family, friends, workplaces, they're going to come. But they can either be a stumbling block or a stepping stone, and it's your choice. And I'm talking even the ones that I've talked about that are just horrible, horrible, horrible. Like, I want to hang on to that one till the day I die. No, that's going to be a stumbling block if you do that. You need to release that to the Lord and let it become a stepping stone. Because when we walk in forgiveness, our dreams are unhindered. But when we walk in unforgiveness, they're stopped. And who's stopping them is not God and not the devil. It's you. Have stopped that from flowing. So you got to forgive. You might be saying, well, Pastor Mark, I don't know if I can ever forgive them. Yes, you can. You can. With the Holy Spirit's help, you can. Don't believe that lie from the pit of hell, because that lie is keeping you in bondage and keeping you hindered. And everybody said, all right, so that's the forgiveness test. And you might see yourself in one of these tests today, or all three of them. I've seen myself in all three of them, things I've had to walk through myself. Here's number two, the faithfulness test. This is a huge one. They're all huge. Matthew 25, verse 21 says, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter the joy of your Lord. And if you go and study, and I'm paraphrasing all this today and summarizing all this, but if you go and study Joseph's life, you will find out, even though he was working through this forgiveness part, his unforgiveness towards his brothers, wherever he went, he was faithful. And so the first place he was at was Potiphar's house. And if you'll read the story about when he was at Potiphar's house, everything underneath his care in Potiphar's house, Potiphar loved Joseph because his house flourished under his care. It was prosperous. Joseph took care of everything. Potiphar wasn't standing over him, supervising him every day. Joseph treated that house like his own house, and he took care of everything. I'm sure he prayed over it. Everything like that. He was a hard worker. He was diligent. And the Bible says that God blessed Potiphar's house because Joseph was in it. And here's another thing about Joseph being, and some of us know this story, that he was faithful with. He was even faithful with Mrs. Potiphar. Mrs. Potiphar made an advance on him. I'm sure that Mr. Potiphar, if it's okay if I call him Mr. Potiphar, I'm sure Mrs. Potiphar was a hottie, is what I believe. And here's Joseph in a Potiphar's house. I'm just telling it like it is, okay? Potiphar is in a house where there is this gorgeous woman who is the wife of the owner of this house. Nobody knows me. I'm Joseph. I'm a nobody. I'm a slave. Nobody knows me. I am not even 30 yet. I'm probably in my 20s at this time. Testosterone is in full tilt. And I can take, you know, she wants me. She just told me to come to her bedchambers with her. Who's going to find out? I'm just a slave. And Joseph says this, how can I do this and sin against my God because he's watching? And Joseph ran from that. Joseph was faithful even in that situation. Then it says that he went to prison because of all the stuff he was wrongfully accused, you know, by Mrs. Potiphar that he did. He tried to rape me, blah, blah, blah. So he's thrown into prison. And then even in prison, he is faithful. And he's taken care, by the time he's getting out of the prison, in those years that he was in the prison, he was taking care of the prison. We're going to look at that here in just a second. So he was faithful in every area of his life because he knew that he had a dream, but he also knew that God is watching over this word, this dream that he's given me, and God is going to perform it, but I have to hold myself faithful, accountable, and obedient to it. And everybody said, amen. So that's the faithfulness test. Here's the, how many of you like my graphic description of these? That Jade is looking at me. We're going to talk when we get home. Here's the third test is the fruitfulness test. And this is where I want to, the faithfulness leads into the fruitfulness. Be faithful in the small things. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. And everybody said, amen. Potiphar's house, like I said, flourished under Joseph's care. I want you to look at Genesis 39, verse 23, when he went to prison. It says, the warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. So even in the prison, the warden was like, I don't have no worries. This guy is taking care of it all. Here, another little tidbit that I want to throw in here. Talking about seasons and tests. You're either in a root season, R-O-O-T, or you're in a fruit season. And when you feel like, okay, God, there's no fruit, you know, I'm not producing any fruit, here's where I want to encourage you. Stay faithful where God told you to be at. Stay faithful and let him drive your roots down deep. That's what's going on. This is what I love about Joseph. Joseph was faithful in Potiphar's house when he was a slave. He was faithful when he got thrown into prison, when it wasn't truly wasn't his fault. And here's something about Joseph. Joseph didn't hold out for a management position. He didn't set... And what I'm saying is he wasn't in Potiphar's house sucking his thumb over in a corner saying, I'm not going to do anything today because my brothers caused this all to happen to me and I'm not going to be faithful, but I'm going to stay here until God's dream is fulfilled. No, he got up and by faith he went to work and he was faithful. The reason why I share that was there was years ago when I first started in ministry, I ministered to a guy, him and his wife were having some problems. And I was ministering to him, and I was trying to encourage him to go get a job. You know, life would be better if you just got a job instead of sit at home and watch TV. And his poor wife was working her fingers to the bone trying to make ends meet. And so I went and visited him one day. He was sitting in his recliner watching TV in the middle of the day. I was like, what are you doing? And he said, well, I'm holding out for a management position. I was like, dude, you need to go just get a job, shovel manure, do whatever it takes to provide for your family. And but there's a lot of people that have a dream, talking about the dreamers, I have a dream of a management position, but they won't be faithful with what God's put before them that day. You got to be faithful and work hard and diligent for dreams to come to pass and to come true. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Give something to God to work with. So that was the faithfulness test. Okay, here's number two. Number two is promotion. This all happened, let me tell you guys, there's a lot of years in the making for this to happen, a lot of preparation, but promotion for Joseph happened in one day, in just a moment of time. There was a lot of preparation, and there's a lot of backstory to it that I don't really have all the time. That's why I tell you to go read Genesis. But in Acts 7, verse 10, it says this about God, and God rescued him from all of his troubles, and God gave him favor, everybody say favor, before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and God also gave Joseph unusual wisdom, everybody say unusual wisdom, so that Pharaoh appointed him governor over all of Egypt and put him in charge of the palace. Now here's there's two things that God gave him. That's why I had you repeat them. And you can write these down. He had God's favor, and he had unusual wisdom. And this is what I believe the unusual wisdom is. And I'm going to tell you something. You and I live under better promises and under a better covenant. Because I'm talking about somebody that lived under the old covenant. And so we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit at our disposal. Amen? They flow through all of us, not just those that are in leadership. They flow through all of us. But Joseph had what I call prophetic wisdom. Prophetic wisdom, meaning he had God's wisdom. He knew he could see things. You know, God gave him that prophetic wisdom. But something that he had that works with that, he had what I call pragmatic wisdom or practical wisdom. So he had prophetic wisdom and pragmatic practical wisdom that went with that. And so what that meant was that God gave him this unusual wisdom. So he had wisdom for daily living and dealing with people. And so God gave him this dream, but he also had a plan to go with it, how he took care of the nations with this plan and hard work and diligence that went with it. But he had prophetic wisdom and practical wisdom working together. So he wasn't just all heavenly minded and no earthly good. He was heavenly minded and earthly good. And that's what God wants for the body of Christ. He wants us to be heavenly minded and earthly good. You ought to be so anointed at your place of work that people are just like, man, you just drip with the anointing. You know, that when you're around, things happen. When you're around, good things happen, not bad things. When you're around, you cause good things to happen. You know, I thought it was neat last night, if y'all watched the Boomer Sooner Baby. You know, Kyler Murray won the Heisman Trophy, and that was one of the things that his dad said that I thought was really interesting. He said he's anointed, you know. And if you've ever watched the kid play, he's got athletic ability that I only wish I'd had. I mean, it's unbelievable what God has blessed him with, the athletic ability. And when he's on the field, things happen. Good things happen. And I believe we're going to win a national championship. So there's my plug for OU right there in the middle of my sermon. But God wants to bless you like that on your job, whatever you do. I look at Travis sitting back here, and I know his story and what you guys have been through in their job situation and how God's promoted them. And there was a lot of preparation and a lot of prayer that I prayed with them about it, and I know they prayed privately about it. And then there was that promotion. And, I mean, if you've got technical problems with the computer, that guy's anointed to take care of it. I'm all the time messaging or on Facebook or whatever, how do you do this? This last week I'm trying to figure out how to do a Fire Stick TV, and I'm messaging Travis, and he's sending me articles and stuff. He's just anointed to do it. I am not. It drives me crazy. And so everybody has their anointing, their niche, and then that's how we all work together. Amen? And here's what you need to start doing. Start praying for God. I'm going to just give you some practical things here real quick. Start praying for God to this is something Jade and I pray every night before we go to bed. God, speak to us in our dreams. Speak to us in our dreams. And before we go to bed, we say this. We take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, so God, that you can speak to us in our dreams. We pray that every night. And then also pray for wisdom every day. God, I need wisdom on my job. I need wisdom on how to deal with this person, or, you know, how to let me see them through your eyes. You know, don't let me respond out of anger or emotions or anything like that. God, help me, give me daily things to help me live and have your favor with both you and with man. And God will give that to you because he likes to answer that prayer. God says, ask for wisdom and I'll give it to you. Everybody said? All right, I want to give you something here today, and this is just off script, off my notes. I mean, I wrote them down in my notes, but I want to, what I call, release the prophetic here today. And because I know as your pastor, when God speaks things to me, that it's not just for me, it's for everybody that's a part of this ministry. And it's going to flow down into your homes and your marriages and your families and your businesses and everything you touch, say, and do. Amen? But over the last, and I haven't had, you know, it seems like I've been going through a dry season. You know, there's no prophetic words. God, I'm just staying faithful. Just staying, you know, on the plow. Just staying faithful. And God, you know, only you know when harvest time is. Because I feel like I've been under this plow for a long time and planting seeds. And over the last few weeks, just these last few weeks, and I do believe the book is definitely a big part of it. Us releasing the book is part of it. But over the last few weeks, I've had three prophetic words given to me by men of God who I trust. And they're Ty Barker. And these guys don't call me all the time or text me all the time and say, hey, I got a word for you. I mean, these just like come out of the blue, hey, I got a word for you. But it was Ty Barker, Pastor Scott Page, and Pastor Ricky Griffin, those three guys. And the first one was from Ty Barker. And you know, if you know, sometimes you get so faithful, you're just going through that faithfulness test just day in, day out. God, you know, I don't have any, you know, great revelation or great word from you, but I'm just, all I know to do is just stay faithful. Just keep plugging away. Stay faithful. Work hard. Do everything you told me to do the last time you spoke to me. I'm just staying faithful. I had a guy call me one time. There's a guy that calls me all the time, or he used to, and he would always say, Pastor Mark, what's God speaking to you? And that every time he called me, I'd say, stay faithful. He goes, that's it? And I was like, yeah, that's it. That's all he's telling me right now is to stay faithful. And but here's the word from Ty Barker. He said, to expect and look for the miraculous in and around your life. Expect and look for the miraculous in and around your life. I was like, yeah, God, I need a few miracles. You know how sometimes when you get a prophetic word, we always turn it on us and say, but God was like, Mark, turn your eyes around and look around you. And so this morning I saw Kenny and Debbie come in, and I've been keeping up with James and Sydney on Facebook, and I'm seeing a miracle happen with their little baby, with their little grandbaby, Amazing Annie. And God said, that's what I'm that's happening in and around your life. And acknowledge that and come into agreement with that. And so Jade and I have been doing that. That's just one of the miracles. There's many more. The miracle in the Paulson family, what God is doing, that is a miracle. That is a miracle. By the way, I am so sorry we baptized him before y'all got here. But here's the deal. It's on churchesaid.com. You can watch it. But we did get him wet today. He is baptized in the name of Jesus. But that's a miracle that's going on in that family, and that's happening around me. And sometimes there's miracles happening, and we just don't see it like that. And God's like, Mark, they're happening all around you if you just open your eyes. So expect to see more of those. Pastor Scott Page sent me a text one day, and I'm telling you, it came at the right. You know how those words just come at the right time. Talk about I needed to hear this, and it put wind in my sails. I didn't like one word, but I needed to hear it anyway. It says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over much. And that's Matthew 25, verse 21. And then it says this word, be patient. I'm like, I don't like that. I'm too impatient. And it says, be patient, dot, dot, dot. God is about to promote you. And I'm ready. I was like, I'm ready for that promotion. And but I see God. Even then, the miracle around, I'm seeing God promote a lot of people around me, in and around me. All right, here's the other one. It came from Pastor Ricky. He was here a few Sundays ago and shared his testimony. And then he called me one day, and he said, and he doesn't normally, I mean, he'll call me maybe once every few months, and he called me up, and he said, man, he goes, I try to, and he goes, I don't often get this all done every day. I'm just going to have to confess that right now. But he said, I try to take two or three of you guys, the pastors that are in our association, and I'll pray over you during that day. I'll be thinking about you and praying over you and your ministry. And if God has a word, I'll tell him, God, help me to release, an encouraging word over him. Well, he called me and he said, God gave me an encouraging word for you. And I'm just going to kind of sum it up this way, that you're going from a season of preparation to a new beginning. And that was from Pastor Ricky Griffin. And so I just released those today. Even those were personally given to me, the prophetic is not just for you. I want you to understand that. The prophetic is for you, but it's also for those around you. Because whoever comes in contact with you is going to be blessed by that word. And so these words, those three words, are being released over you today. So let them speak to you and however God wants, the Holy Spirit's amazing how he speaks to us. Expect and look for the miraculous in and around your life. be patient. God is about to promote you, and you're going from a season of preparation to a new beginning. And everybody said, amen. All right. Now, here's the last point of today, and this is provision for purpose. Don't you know, didn't you like how all these started with P and then the test all started with F? Yeah, okay. I was hoping some of you caught that. That's a preacher thing. All right, provision for purpose. And this was from the age of 30 to the age of 110 that he was in his destiny, fulfilling his calling and fulfilling his purpose. And what I love about the story of Joseph was this was a man of integrity. There was no sexual or financial scandal on his record. Not even CNN could bring something up. They could not dig up any dirt on this guy. He was a man of integrity. And he did this for 80 years. But there was a lot, I keep telling you this, I'm summing up a guy's life in one 30-minute message, because there was a lot of maturing that this guy went through in that time span. A lot of maturing in the Lord. And what, as he matured, as he got rid of that youthful pride, became humble, started understanding why God had promoted him to this position, it wasn't all about him, it was about saving two nations, God brought more and more clarity to his purpose. And I'm going to show you two scriptures that tell us this. The first one is Genesis 45, verse 5. It says, but don't be upset. And this is when he's talking to his brothers. He says, you know, by now, God has totally gotten that unforgiveness out of him. He doesn't want to kill him. He wants to bless him. And he sees that his brothers are upset the day that they come to ask for food, and they're actually bowing down to their brother, just like the dream. It all, deja vu, here we are. I mean, it's happening. And Joseph, and there's a movie out, and I love this part, because whenever Joseph is speaking this word over his brothers in this movie that I'm thinking about, Joseph is actually crying. And it's so touching. But he says, don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. That's a guy that is walking in forgiveness now and not unforgiveness. And then I love this other scripture in verse 20 of Genesis 50. He said, Joseph, here it is again, talking about a man walking in forgiveness. You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. You know, there's things that happen in our lives that are not good. And I'm going to tell you, they didn't come from God, but God in his, I'm thinking of the Paulson family, but God in his grace and his goodness, he can cause all things to work together for our good. And so that's what happened in Joseph's life. He said, you intended to harm me, but God intended all for good, and he brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. That's a man that understood the provision for purpose. He understood what his calling was, and he was a lot more mature and a lot more humble, wouldn't you say, than when he first started. And so what I want to tell you today in closing is this. God, and I'm throwing myself in here as well, God has a dream for us. We should live the dream for his glory. The Holy Spirit will reveal his dream to us. We must see the dream before entering into it, and our dream may be delayed for a season, and patience and faith are important to realizing our dream. And everybody said, amen. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning, and I'm going to release a prayer over us, and then release a blessing as well. But with every head bowed and every eye closed, and there's nothing spiritual about that, I just want to focus on you and your walk with the Lord. And I want to just pray this over myself included and over all of us this morning. Lord, we want to live the dream that you have for us. Reveal that dream through your Holy Spirit. I know there's some people here today, God, that are saying, God, I don't really know what that dream is, but God, you're going to reveal that dream to them through your Holy Spirit. God, there's going to be preparation time. Lord, and I pray that they would be patient, God, during that preparation time. Some of us need, and I know, you know, you always hear the old saying that don't pray for patience. No, we need to. We need to be patient. because we don't want to be promoted before due time, because if promotion can kill us if we're not ready and cause us to fall. There can be those, what we see in lots of lives that we've seen, God, the sexual scandals and the financial scandals. God, we don't want that. Lord, we want to be like Joseph and live a life of integrity to fulfill our purposes and our destinies. And so, God, give us the faith, give us the patience and the courage to enter into it, enter into the dreams that you have for us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I want everybody to keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. And before we go, and I do this every Sunday, I just want to make sure, just like last Sunday when Ethan came up to me and he told me he had prayed this prayer and that he was ready to be baptized, there's people here today and there's also people that are watching by churches today. There's going to be people listening to this on the radio, that I want to make sure that you know where our hope comes from, and our hope comes from Jesus. And you have to know him, and you have to have a personal relationship with him. And so the book of Romans in chapter 10 tells us to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want you to repeat this prayer to me. And even if you know you do have a relationship with Jesus and you know that you're saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with him. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up. Jada, I want you to come up here, and we're going to speak a blessing over you as we dismiss today. Did everybody learn something today? Is everybody going to live the dream? Amen. Okay. Okay. I'm going to speak this blessing over everybody today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. And from this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. We're going to get back here so we can shake your hands.